the last three surahs if Allah wills today, inshallah. If not, we can continue next week. The last three surahs are قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ Surah Al-Ikhlas قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ Surah Al-Falaq قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ Surah Al-Nas. And then we begin Surah Al-Fatiha. So we want to take in this journey a macro, and then we're going to zoom in on the surahs. Interestingly, the last three surahs in the Quran all begin with the word قُلْ. What does قُلْ mean?
Say.
So say are the last three surahs in the Quran. Why is this important? We're going to get into why that قُلْ. And what happens if we take the قُلْ out, the say out, and we just left the surahs as is? We want to also understand the logic of قُلْ in the Quran, because it has a very important concept in our aqidah, concept of understanding that the Prophet ﷺ does not speak of إِلْهَ مَا يَنْطِقْ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He does not speak from desire. That anything he's given to, it is what it is. So let's begin with the first surah, Surah Al-Ikhlas. And I want you to imagine that the last page is working on your heart. One of it from why? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ reminding you of why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you Muslim? Like the why. And then قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ external threats upon you. And then قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ Surah Al-Nas is the chest area. Internal forces. So, but untouched in the last page of the Quran is your heart. We have no idea, because Allah is the one who guides hearts. Allah is the one who guides hearts. So the surah is working hard on different angles. One from external threats. One from whatever is going in your chest. And you're going to see a very beautiful meaning in Surah Al-Nas. Ah, this is why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. The Surah Al-Nas, the conclusion is very beautiful to understand it. So let's go through the structure and understand. I had forgotten to add the translations of the English Quran in WhatsApp. So I do apologize. But if you want to follow along, it is the last three surahs in the Quran, backwards 114, 113, 112. So before we get to قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ Surah Al-Ikhlas, there is another surah that's usually partnered in the name of Ikhlas. I'm going to throw this puzzle out. What is it? What surah is given as sometimes, and it's a rare definition I know, but with Surah Al-Ikhlas. And we're asked to usually read it in the Sunnah and Fajr. So we read قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ usually in the Sunnah of Fajr. Surah Al-Kafirun. So some of the ulama said Al-Kafirun and Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مَا عَبُدُونَ That surah. And Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ The ones that we read in Fajr, Sunnah, the Sunnah of Fajr, the one before you come to Masjid, inshallah. These two surahs are Ikhlas together. And also that Surah Al-Ikhlas, which has many names. Today I'm going to try my best just to get through the three surahs, not to delve into details as much as possible. But this Surah Al-Ikhlas, this idea of sincerity with Allah, cleanliness, purity of the heart with Allah, oneness of Allah, you get to Surah Al-Ikhlas. Now let's go backward two surahs. What's the surah before Al-Ikhlas? تَبَّتْ يَدَ أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ So the surah that talks about a tyrant. What's the surah before that? An-Nasr. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ Victory. And what's the surah before that? Al-Kafirun. So I want you to understand that the two ikhlases trapped inside of them are two winds. One of them, a victory that the Prophet ﷺ is going to take over Mecca. It's not just a fatḥ, and it's not like Surah Al-Fatḥ, إِنَّ فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. It's not just a fact, it's the victory, Nasr. So we have two types of victory in English that we say victory. One is called a conquest, and one's called a victory. So we start. Victory, an oppressor, Allah, Surah Al-Nasr is a Madani surah, and by the way, this is how some of the Sahaba knew that the Prophet ﷺ was going to die from this surah, that it's the end. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهُ is indicative that the mission is done. And then, تَبَّتْ يَدَ أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ This came in Mecca. So this surah came early. And it came when the Prophet ﷺ was making the announcement about the Islam in Meccan time. And Abu Lahab said, Tabban lak! Like, Tabban lak, the Arabic word is like kind of ruined, are you? Like, it sounds like But like it's not a it's an insult, but it's not a cuss. It's somewhere in between in disrespect. But if you can imagine, if you're who's Abu Lahab to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
uncle.
So your uncle is listening to you, and he tells you off right in front of everyone, and he's one of the leaders in Quraysh. What would that leave in your chest? A feeling of sadness, right? Like your uncle calls you out, and his uncle knows that he's a truthful man, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is truthful. So a surah comes and says, no, tabbat to you, Abu Lahab. So Allah answers the insulting of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, disrespect him in front of you, and he tells him, you are going to go to hellfire. So for this surah to be revealed in Mecca, and Abu Lahab to live his whole life, all he had to do to ruin the Quran, one thing, believe in Allah. And the surah would have not made sense, because the surah says he's going to go to hellfire. It shows you the power of the Qur'an, even though the surah is in front of him. Even though he can do one thing to break it, but he can't. And it tells you the power Allah has over hearts. You're not going to convert. You cannot do it. So Allah sees hearts really well. So this victory in Mecca, and this victory where an oppressor is going to end, makes us arrive to a surah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Why? Because many people will always ask, when are we going to be victorious? When are we going to be this? And they keep waiting for this moment, Allah. And when it comes, they forget the past and they keep living their life. Now I go back to my schedule. And قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ kind of gives you a stop sign and tells you, why did you do all this hard work? Why did you achieve this victory? Why did you, like, all these events that are happening, is it for you to go back? Or is it actually why, the why? The قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ gives you the why are you doing this? And this is why we repeat it a lot in the day. You repeat it in your morning du'as. You're repeating in your night du'a. You repeat it after every salah as part of your dhikr. You say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. You repeat them. Why does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging us to repeat it throughout the day? Because you lose the why, and you lose the sense that Allah is protecting you. We sometimes say, no, I'm protecting myself. You feel that. You don't say it, but you feel it. And قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ puts the brakes on wrong thoughts you're getting in your head from different angles. Let's begin with the first. قُلْ is say. هُوَ is he. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. أَحَد, in Arabic, there are two words for one. أَحَد and واحد. Historically, أَحَد, Arabic linguists say, came before the word واحد. So there's a powerful thing here that Allah used the older words between أحد and واحد. واحد means one, as one. أحد has a uniqueness to it. So I'm going to read the surah in the English translation, inshallah, so that we follow together بإذن الله. So it says, say, He is Allah, the uniquely one. Allah, Samad, Samad has... Samad, we could spend the whole day just translating what is Samad. And the reason we're focusing on these words today, why? Because some people repeat it a lot in the Salah, but once you appreciate every word, what it means, you'll see the depth of this. Sometimes it's translated as Allah, the indivisible. If you have English Quran with you right now, can someone read that second verse of Samad? And give me, you'll see multiple translations and we're going to talk about why. So anyone has... In Surah Al-Ikhlas, the translation, some of, other than...
I think I read Eternal?
Eternal?
It says Eternal Refuge.
Eternal Refuge? Anyone else? So we have these different eternal, indivisible words. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ He begot no one, nor was he begotten. And never has there been to him anyone equivalent. When you read the surah, it sounds like a puzzle for us. What is going on? So first of all, structure of the surah. Three positives and three negations. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ صَمَدْ. Three positives. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Negation. لَمْ is used in the Arabic language to negate the past. لَنْ with N. لَنْ to negate the future. I don't want to travel in the future. لن, I'd use لن أسافر. I didn't travel, the past tense, lam. So when you see the word lam, it's negating the past. I did not. Lan with an N in it, it is the future. So I know I'm going through a lot of Arabic, but because these surahs, I want when we hear it, every word to record a feeling, inshallah. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. We said Allah is the unique one. And أَحَدْ, we said historically, there is the older word. And the other thing about أَحَدْ is that it's unique and there's no one like him. And we're surprised in the Arabic language, why did Allah say قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ and said after that, اللَّهُ الصمد. Why is one without al and one with al? This is what drives linguists crazy to try to derive the meaning. So ahad, unique, no one like him. When you remove the al, al is the. So when you say the one, and so the, in the transition, the uniquely one. But in the second one, it actually ahad should not have a the in front of it, because al is the al ahad, but it's ahad. The unique, it's hard to say it in English, in the Arabic. Yeah, unique one, without the. But when it came to Samad, this description of Allah that is not repeated anywhere in the Quran. So Samad, we don't find the Samad as a description of Allah. This is one of the few spots that we see Samad in. And likewise, the word Kufwan. Kufwan, we don't see it in the Quran. Again, there are words so unique in the surah that it's, you know how it's unique and the words of it are unique. Like for example, the word kufuwan, we read in Hafs kufuwan. Is anyone here Welsh? I think they read it with sukun on the fa, kufuwan, or something like that. There's a little bit different way, right? But the people of Hafs read kufu, fa has a dhamma on it, u. It's, in the Arabic language, an ism with a waw that comes after it, never usually comes with, there's a special waw, never comes with a dhamma before. This is the most unique Arabic grammar for a word. One of the most unique Arabic grammar in the word, where you say fuwan. That is very unique. One might say, no, I know the word huzuwan, but it's not the same. The asl of it is huzu with the hamza. I mean, but this kufuwan, very unique. Samad, unique. So the words in the surah are unique. So when you say قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدَ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدَ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدَ, the dals are, we usually ring them at the end, we do something called in tajweed, who knows it? قَلْقَلَ. It's not a true vibration, okay? Because some people, it's not true. So it has a rhythm to end. And all these surahs will have a rhythm in their ending that we'll get in. So say, Ya Rasulullah, that Allah is one and only, unique. And then Allahu Samad, a Samad gets a the before it. And we're going to get into why it's getting a the. Samad is one of the hardest words in the Quran to describe. You cannot find an easy tafsir for just one. Because it first of all will combine a lot of attributes of Allah. Let's go through what the attributes are. The Samad, Ibn Abbas translated it, the master that everything depends on him, everyone will rely on his needs from him. So we are, the word has another meaning, masmud. So Samad means that your needs are coming from Allah and you need him, but he does not need you. Let me give you an analogy for dunya, lillahi al-mathal al-a'la, so that we understand it. You know, back home in certain countries, when you want to finish your paperwork, there's always this top guy in a ministry that when you go to, they have two attributes. You go to them and they finish everything for you, and they're on top of the ladder of that organization. Like, you just walk into their office, they'll be like, sit right here. Did you guys ever meet that guy? Or see that guy? Maybe it's only in Egypt. Okay. He's a very popular guy in Egypt. When we go to him, he finishes it. So, and that's the Sayyid, and that's sometimes they call that, you'll see the name Samad attached to this previously in history. But Allah is the only Samad. So two attributes to this, you rely on him for everything, and he gives you everything from what you need. So all your needs are covered by him. The second thing is he doesn't need you. يعني Allah Samad, he does not need you. So in it, our names are like Al-Hayy, then he must be alive. If he's always providing you, if he's Samad, it means it's always provided, not just one time, because if one time you could have used the word Masmood, like you can rely on one thing. But Samad is always on, you always rely on him, and he's always giving you whatever within your needs. So your hawa'ij, your needs are met by Allah. You need air, you need food, you need all this. He provides on earth all these needs, so Samad gives you that feeling. We've just started maybe 10% of the definition. That's the power of word, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. The Samad has many feelings in it. Some of the ulama translated Samad, they said, look at the next verse. He was not لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He did not give birth, nor was he born. He was not. So that is the definition of Samad. Some of the ulama have it as, he does not have the need to give birth, nor to be born, because this surah is addressing ikhlas, sincerity to Allah. And it's, subhanAllah, the power of this surah, it knew till the end of time, there will always be people who are saying their God has a son. So this surah purifies. You can't say that. If Allah is truly the one who provides everything, then why does he need to have a son? Do you guys get that meaning? Like, if Allah is the provider of everything, and then some of the ulama, I know there's a disagreement on ulama in this, but in the definition is that Allah is not ajwaf, which means ajwaf is like talks when shaitan came and looked at Adam, he noticed he had openings inside of him, like a stomach, a lung. So shaitan knew that this person is in need. So ajwaf means you need food, you need air to survive. So that breathing and that need to eat means you are incomplete. You are always in need of someone to support you. And this samad is a definition that says Allah does not need. Let me give you even a few ayahs in the Quran. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah says, كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. About Maryam, Sayyidah Maryam and Sayyidina Isa. What does the verse translate to? Sayyidina Isa and Sayyidina Maryam both eat food. The verse is very plain. When you think about that, you're like, you read the verse, you're like, yes. What's next? What should I learn from this? But you read it and you forgot to contemplate. Read it again. They both ate food. What ideas come to your head? If Sayyidina Isa and Sayyidina Maryam eat food, then what? Therefore what? They cannot be God. How can God excrete? How does he have... Why would God do this to himself? Make himself in need of something when he was never in need. So why would I create someone that eats? If he was God, he would never eat. Samad. Now you're starting to uncover a little bit of a samad. Just a little bit. Also Allah says, the idea in Surah Ali Imran, the creation of Isa is a creation like who? Adam. So Adam got created without a mother and a father. Why don't you call him the son of God? It sounds all about consistency. If this is true, then why not here? If you're going to call this one, then why not this? And why does Allah need to have a son? If you're saying Allah needs to have a son, then there's something incomplete about God, then he can't be Samad. Because something is missing. And this is how Surah Al-Ikhlas, just by the word of Samad in of itself, it tells you that you're the one that needs him. And when you say Allah needs, you're projecting yourself on Allah. You're trying to make Allah look more like you. And this is the gap in Ikhlas, which is, he is not like you. And this is why Ahad, when you remove the Al, you're saying, he is the unique one, and it's a tankir in the Arabic language. This unknownness grandizes the word. Ahad. There is no one like him. He's one and unique and only. Allahu Samad. Samad, he's the one. He provides for everyone. Everyone is in need of him. He is ghani. So when you hear the word hay, qayyum, ghani, rahman, rahim, the best of the attributes are all inside the Samad. All of them are inside the Samad. And this is going to give you a relation between Surah Al-Fatiha. Now you're going to start seeing the connection with the next two surahs and Surah Al-Fatiha. How does Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad connect with these surahs? Let's go to the next surah. I'm just trying to explain just a sum. The next surah, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, is supposed to protect you from external evil. You call Allah once, Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq once, and He protects you from multiple evils. Magic, hasid, some people translate it as jealousy and envy. We're going to get to that definition. There are like, I think, four evils, and you invoke Allah once. In the next surah, Nas, you're going to invoke Allah three times to protect you from one evil. Al-Waswas Al-Khannas, the whispering inside of your chest that's around your heart. So Allah gives a very beautiful imagery throughout the page. Be sincere with Allah. Be pure, no shirk. Clean your there's almost like a form. It's like Qul Hu Allahu Ahad is doing tazkiyah, purification. It's a car wash for the heart. I'm saying car wash so that you can imagine the heart being cleansed. Because you gaining knowledge of the Qur'an is nice. But what's better is tazkiyah. That I can purify the heart so it can see Allah better. So Qul Hu Allahu Ahad is purifying the heart so that when you go to Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, you're invoking Allah, protect me from the evil, from the envy, from the magic, from the evilness of the world. It's, you're calling a lot of external evil. Then you get to Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas, Malik Nas, Ilahi Nas. Protect me from this whispers in my heart, in my chest area. How is that? Because you are seeking Allah now. Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq. Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas. Therefore, He's samad. You're in need of Him. Because you need Him to protect your heart in your chest. And you need Him to protect from external threats. Therefore, He is samad. So the word samad, if you double click on samad, you open Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq. Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas. You see it. Let me take a pause because I know I ran through the surahs. Any questions about the samad component so far? Any confusion? Anything that's still... You see how expansive the word samad is. It's not... This is why you could have a halaqa on just the word samad. But in it are the top attributes of Allah, the best of it, and the unique. Like, highest of the quality and the unique. So, hay, qayyum. Also, surah... Ayat al-Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum, has a lot of parallel in structure with Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. You know, in Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, you have three, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Three negatives, three this. If you go through Ayat al-Kursi, you're going to see the ring structure of positive negative. Yes? Attribute that Allah is the name is the most beneficial
ahad.
So it's Allah has multiple names. You could say Allah is Rahman. Invoke the ad'u Rahman. Ad'u Asma' Allah al-Husna. We have something called Asma' Allah al-Husna. You could some people say there are 99, some people say there are more, but you could have multiple names of Allah.
But if it's a name, it's not Al Ahad.
Okay, I want to get to this interesting question.
Why?
Al-Al, the Ahad. So we said the Tankir, when Allah removes the Al, in this specific instance of Ahad, it's because there is no one like Him, so there's no one, like you could compete, for example, I'll give an example of a competition. Two guys can in their forgiveness be different, right? You could forgive more than maybe the other brother. Okay? But Al-Ghafoor, the forgiver, no one's like Him. Okay? But you can say, I can forgive. You can forgive, but our forgiveness is nothing like Allah, Al-Ghafoor. A human does not get Ahad. There's no one will meet a human that's Ahad. You know what I mean? So in that name, it is unique and it does not, you don't have, like you can forgive, for example, a name of, some brothers have a name, anyone called Rahim? Or no, a brother called Rahim? Yeah, we have many Rahims, okay? Abdurrahim. But there is sometimes brothers called Rahim. And it's allowed, Rahman is not allowed in Islam. But Rahim is, yes. I know it causes drama.
Yes. So I know someone whose name is Ahad. So is that a right name for a Muslim?
Okay. Ahad, one of its words also, its definitions, alternative to this one, is one of Ahad, one of the books. So Ahad could be used in the Arabic language to say one of, but not so. But they're not the one, the unique, the only. It can carry both. So in Arabic, if you want to compare, and say one of أحد ال, there's even an ayah in the Quran كأحد, like one of the, one of the. So it can be used to say one of the, but it's not a name in of itself. Okay? So if someone's called Rahman or all that, we usually tell them it's not too late to change your name. No, I'm just kidding. I don't say that. But sometimes Muslim names, like sometimes people will call people Taha, or like the as if they're the broken letters of the Quran. I know that exists. But in general, our teachers tell us this, you should not name after the broken letters of the Quran. Or they call the Yasin, and they even spell it like the beginning of the Quran. I know people exist, even, you know, Yasin is a different one because there's actually someone called Yasin. But I'm just saying, you cannot usually name after these broken letters thinking it's symbolic in a bitse. I don't want to get into this controversy because people are like, I know a brother. I don't want to get anyone into hellfire, inshallah. I'm just saying, in general, good practice. Yes?
Also, why is it written as ahadun?
Okay, the endings of words and i'rab and all of that is a whole lecture. Yeah, like ha-un and in, kuf-un, how it ends and the i'rab of the word and how it ends and where it's placed. A same word can be u and a, an ending depending on where it is. Like if it's a fa'il or that, we have a dhamma, which is the u. But if we move it to maf'ul bih, it could take a fatha, a. The same word, which confuses a lot of people in English language, it's not like that. Like we don't say buku, bukka, bukhi for book. For us, we have four endings. Sukun, buk, bukka, buku, bukhi, for the same word to tell us where it is in a sentence. That's why if someone makes a mistake in the u-a-i, we flip the meaning. So this is what, and this is the, why the Quran is in Arabic too. Just the change of the they call it, I think in English, we call it in Arabic tashkil. Just the change in tashkil changes the meaning. And that's why in some of the qira'at, you'll notice a brother ended with u and ah. Why? Because the two meanings are correct. The two meanings are correct. Also, I want to go back to As-Samad because I still have two more surahs, inshallah. But As-Samad, as a name, is expansive. Allah does not need anyone. We are in need of him. And therefore, he did not give birth, and he was never born. And notice, it's all in past tense. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Some of the Arabic linguists said, why didn't Allah say, لَنْ يَلِدْ وَلَنْ, like, he will not give birth, and he will, why did he use the past tense? Because they only give the attribute of birth of Allah for divine things. Like, for example, the Arabs used to believe females are angels. Angels are the daughters of Allah. And some of the, in the Christian religion, Isa is the son of Allah. And even some people went throughout and said, oh, Allah is male because Allah uses huwa, he, in the Quran, therefore, Allah does not have a gender. I know this confuses a lot of people, but then why does Allah use huwa? Because male usage in the Arabic language, he, huwa, is used for the unknown. So, in the Arabic language, when Allah, even people, but Allah said huwa, and shaitan is huwa. So, there's a verse in the Quran where Allah talks about shaitan, and he's assigned he. Does that doesn't mean he's male? Okay? Allah is male. I'm just saying, because some people ask, why is Allah he, not a she? Because people think like that are caught up in gender. Allah doesn't have a gender. Do not compare him. And this is why the last verse says, nothing is like him. He is unique. So stop that comparison, because when people say Allah has a son, it just means, you know what? He has some human attributes. And Allah says, stop thinking like humans. Allah is unique. Ahad. Samad. He's the one providing for you, and you're always in need of him, and he does not need you, and he does not give birth, nor was he ever born. He doesn't have parents, he doesn't have this. Kill that logic. And this tells you tawheed, you're getting rid of shirk. And then he does not share power with anyone. At the end of the kufu and ahad, there's no one that he, there's not two Allahs, three Allahs, because if he was, he would not be samad. He would not be samad. How could two Allahs be samad? How could you, which one would I rely on? Am I relying on this one or this one? If you are fully reliant on someone, he is the samad, that's it. then he doesn't share power. So this surah, if you add it with قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ will show you the duality of get rid of the wrong thoughts, because the people of Quraysh went to the Prophet ﷺ and tried to make a ceasefire deal with him. And they said, why don't you worship Allah? We worship with us for 1 year, we'll worship 1 year. We'll do an exchange program. And قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ came answering this question. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ came down when the Prophet ﷺ got asked about Allah's attributes. Like, does he have parents? Like, tell us more about him. And the surah got revealed. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. He's unique. Saman. He, يعني, all the names you can think of, you can fit it into here. Rahman, Rahim, Hayy, Qayyum, Ghani. All these independent. All these names are assigned here. Now, the surah now fully purifies the heart. And now you know not to add anyone with Allah. And now I know why I'm working so hard in Islam. Allah, I do everything sincerely just for Him. Just for Him. Because sometimes we do good work for our secondary goals. And قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ takes us back to say, no, reset this. Should be sincerely just for Him. Just for Him. Some people get a victory in a war, and they say, now we run our affairs the way we want. We're not going to go back to Allah. And this is why one of the beautiful things, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَا استغفر. Why do we say استغفر الله after a victory? Because for one, previously you thought it took too long to get here. Like, you know, when's the victory going to come? Why is this still happening? When is this going to end? You want the pain to end. And then when it comes, you're like, alhamdulillah, I came in. And then you move on. It's like, no, استغفر. You had all these evil thoughts about Allah before. You need to reset that. Why? For ikhlas. To be sincere. So, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ is a heart wash. Now, we want to go into the surah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. And I want to go back to our session on duha. What was duha in definition? What did we say duha was the definition of what? Who remembers duha? Come on, it was 2 weeks, so it wasn't that far. Duha. Well, duha. Morning? Light. Morning light. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. One of the meanings of falaq is that the splitting of night into day, that moment, you know, the moment the day starts, that day from night changes into day, that's falaq. So the surah is telling you, you might be in a state of darkness. So you're worshipping Allah, and one of the examples given, again, it has another meaning of splitting. So, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, say, I seek refuge in what? In the Lord of Falaq. Falaq is the splitting of that night and that morning. You know when we say you look at the sky and the light is going to begin?
Twilight.
Falaq is that moment that splitting happens. Why? Because the surah will mention a few evils. And when you're in those evils, you think there's no way out. You know, sometimes people overthink something really bad and they think there's no way out of it. So Allah will say, let's read the surah inshallah in English. Allah will say, say, I seek refuge with the Lord of daybreak from the evil of whatever He created. So anything evil on the planet. And from the evil of a dusky night when it darkens. And the best way to understand it is when darkness goes, sometimes people get into depressive mood. So they enter from darkness into darkness. So I'm not feeling good. Then you stop praying. So you enter into a period of darkness into darkness. And then, and from the evil of sorceress who blow upon knots, magic. That's what translates to. The surah was revealed when the Prophet ﷺ, one of the opinions is when the Prophet ﷺ, someone did magic unto him. And he noticed he started imagining things. And then from the evil of an envier when he envies. Hasid is more than envy and jealousy. You know, if I wish you evil, and I don't have anything to... You know when someone hates someone, and they're like, I wish everything in their life gets destroyed, and there's nothing in it for me, but I wish everything in their life is that... It's like a dark soul. So hasid isn't just that you're envying and jealous. It's you have this always on... Like I wish that brother divorces. I wish that brother dies. I wish that brother loses his job. Why? Why are you like that? You're in hasid mode. A Muslim can be hasid. A believer can be hasid. It's a very dark... So Surah Al-Falaq tells you this group of darkness. Magic, evil, nighttime, things that happen in the darkness, going from a dark mode into a dark mode, all these things, you are going to need Allah in. And this is why the surah begins with Qul. Why Qul? Because Allah wants you to say these specific words when you enter that phase. Say it. Or else it would have been, instead of Qul Hu Allahu Ahad, why doesn't the surah say Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid Wa Lam Yulad, and remove say? Then we would know it as a definition. Oh, Allah is Samad. Allah is Ahad. Allah is this, you know it as definition. It's like a, we call it in Arabic Khabar. But when there's a Qul, it's like, not only do I have to know it, I have to say it. And not only do I have to say it, one of the important things in Aqeedah and Sharia, we obey Allah and we obey the Rasul. Atiru Allah wa atiru al-Rasul. So we have to obey the Prophet. Without Qul, it's just, hey guys, Allah Samad, Allah Ahad. It's news. What do I do with it? No, when you enter that phase, say it. Qul hu Allahu Ahad. You gotta say it, the exact words. So that's why when you are making a dua in the morning, and you're making a dua at night, and after every salah, I believe it's up here. But yeah, I think it's down there somewhere. At the bottom, I can't see it. So after every salah, you're saying it, and you're invoking Allah in all these three surahs to do three functions. Number one, I remember why I'm Muslim, and that I have to be sincere to Allah, because throughout the day, you're in and out. It's like a tug of war of shirk shirk, get out of shirk shirk. Shirk shirk, you get out of shirk shirk. And it's a tug. So Qul Hu Allahu Ahad purifies. The Prophet ﷺ, before he would sleep, he would make the dua. Again, there's opinions on the naf, and he'd blow into his hand three times, and then he would rub his from the top all the way to down, trying to touch as much of his body as possible before he sleeps. He does it in the morning, and he does it at night, and he reads the surah Qul Hu Allahu Ahad in the Sunnah of Fajr. There's not a moment that even one of the Sahaba used, people were annoyed that he always would pray in salah with Qul Hu Allahu Ahad. Now, some people do it out of laziness. That's not why the Sahaba did this. Some people just say, Qul Hu Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad. But he truly loved the Prophet ﷺ. They complained to the Prophet. So the Prophet ﷺ said, go to the man and ask. And he said, I love the surah. It reminds me of truly the attributes of Ar-Rahman. And he said, the Prophet ﷺ actually gave him praise for that. So the love of Qul Hu Allahu Ahad, when you read it, and the ask is, when you read it in a salah, please do not zip through it. The surah, when it was revealed to Allah, it was given a lot of majesty to it. Imagine you read, Qul Hu Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid Wa Lam Yulad, Qul Hu Allahu Ahad. It's not that. It's Qul Hu Allahu Ahad, the unique and one and only. Samad. I rely on him for everything. He's there for me all the time. He's always there. So when you go through Samad, this is why some of the Sahaba, when the Qur'an came down, they would pray with a page sometimes hours. Why? Because the word had heavy meaning. When we read it as just, Qul Hu Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid, you're just, you're mind-numbing going through it. But it's not truly felt in the heart. The best thing about Surah Qul Hu Allahu Ahad and Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq is when you read them, slow down. And remember the definitions today. I'm going to put the definition, inshallah, in the WhatsApp group, so you're like, brother, you went through it fast, and I couldn't remember everything. Inshallah, I'll put it in the WhatsApp group. Let's go to قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. You invoke Allah once for external threats. All these magic, envy, jealousy, darkness of the night, you ask Allah once. But when you're going to go to the next surah, you're going to invoke Allah three times. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. I seek refuge in the Lord of the people, ملك الناس. And it's translated also as the king or the sovereign. And then إله الناس. And then the ilah, the God of the people. So you're saying, invoking Allah three times to protect from one thing. Whatever's going on in your chest. And the chest is the battle over your heart. It's as if this place is left empty for the intrusive thoughts. And this waswas khanas, the whispers of shaitan, and khanas is it comes in and out. Waswas khanas, which means it has peaks. So sometimes you'll forget, then you'll remember the evil thought, then you get boiled up. Waswas khanas reminds you of the peak of the evil thoughts that come in, or the whispers that come in and stay in your chest. And it's working on what? Entering the heart. It's knocking on the heart. And this is why you say, Ya Allah, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Thabbit Qalbi ala al-Islam. Ya, the overturner of hearts, stabilize my heart on Islam. Just, that is our dua. Why? Because left inside of the chest is whispers that are hounding on the heart. And that's why people come and say, I feel depressed. I feel anxious. I feel agitated. Which means the waswas was left for a while. It's left to simmer inside. And when we don't invoke these surahs, you're not getting the protection of magic or envy from Allah. And when you're not reading the surah, you're not getting the protection against the waswas al-khannas. So when people are like this, I know sometimes it sounds like a silly advice when I give it, I'm like, do you read your ma'udatayn? And this is why they're part of ruqyah also. Why? Because it protects from magic. Like, it's a very logical thing. So when you read these three surahs, what should you feel? You should feel the purity of Allah. You should feel that you are holding on to a very sensitive rope to Allah to protect you from external threats and internal threats. This one page does the ultimate protection for you. That whole page is your bodyguard in dunya. And that's why when you don't read them a lot, you drift away. When you read them a lot and you know its meaning, you drift back in. And imagine if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's our Prophet and he read them a lot. And we don't even read it a lot. Like if the Prophet read it a lot because he needed that protection, then what about us? We should read it more, not less. So when people drift away, you'll see that the understanding of these surahs are not there. I'll take a pause before continuing. Any questions so far? Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask when you say about Hasan and so, what's the concept about like Nazar or evil eye?
Yes. Evil eye is haq. It's true. And it happens. Okay? But notice how some people obsess over evil eye as if the evil eye drives them the whole time. And because of that beautiful question, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, you invoke Allah once to protect from four evils from them is evil eye. From them. But Allah tells you, know what's the bigger risk? Waswas. The whispering evil of shaitan and people. جِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. It's, this whisper can come from people being, yo, be like, all the whisper has to do is set you away from قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Like, all I have to do is just not even give you a new purpose. Just destroy the purpose of قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Just to get you off your day. Be like, tell you bad news, you know, bro, you might get fired today. But what's the goal of that? Make you lose trust in Allah. Then Allah doesn't own my affair, my boss owns my affair. And I got you away from قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ with just one word. But Allah says, the whispers of humans and shaitan into you, which is satanic forces, and it's amazing that Allah called it al-waswas, which means He describes shaitan, Allah describes shaitan as not sometimes whispering, He's always on whispering. And we said in Surah Az-Zukhruf and وَمَنْ يَعْشَ عَنْ ذِكْرَ الرَّحْمَنِ, and those who leave the mentioning or abandon the mentioning of Allah or do not mention Allah, نُقَيِّدُ لَهُ شَيْطَانِ. That you, when you leave mentioning Allah, so you now you can imagine, if you leave mentioning these three surahs, a shaitan can get stapled to you. Stapled, automatically. Like the idea that you are not with Allah is you're leaving room for shaitan to come in. That's why some people are like, I get this question sometimes like, I'm a good Muslim, I don't drink, I don't do zina, I don't do that, but I don't pray and I don't, it's, bro, you're with shaitan already. By that problem statement, you have said, I have shaitan whispering. So there's no middle with shaitan. Shaitan can sometimes leave you close to Islam, but not there yet. That's one of the traps of shaitan, is just to put you, bro, you're not even doing nothing big or haram, you know? But don't pray. If you're not doing haram, you're not a bad person. So shaitan will leave you. Why? Because if you go into haram, more haram, you will wake up and go into halal. So shaitan will play on the edge. Listen, you're not that bad. And I'm not saying this so people can sweat and say, La ilaha illallah. By this definition, I am very bad. No, all you have to remember is mention Allah. Mention Allah. As long as you're mentioning Allah, astaghfirullah, alhamdulillah, reading the three surahs, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Just mention. Yes, question there.
Yeah, my son asked, is shaitan is male or female?
Okay, the best thing about the male and the female question is, if we answer it, what will happen differently? And I always say this is important. Why? Because in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah asks us, in Surah Al-Kahf, why when people are asking, are the how many sleepers are in the cave? The people in Quraysh, are they 3, 5, or 7 through the Bani Israel people of Mecca, Medina? So this question came for Surah Al-Kahf. And the Quran does something amazing. They asked the Prophet ﷺ not how many. They just asked how many are they? But in their books, it was 3, 5, or 7, and they're just trying to find the numbers. So the Quran repeated, they're either 3, 5, or 7. Why? Because even if the question answered, are you going to believe? Are you going to change your beliefs? What's the point? So I always say this. If the question, if Shaitan turned out to be a female, or the angels turned out to be a female, and then, and again, gender, we don't assign it, by the way. I'm not assigning gender. Male and female is for now, let's think about it, human construct. Okay? When people says, what is the dhamir used in the Quran about Shaitan? It's the male dhamir. It is the male dhamir. Dhamir meaning the he is used about Shaitan, not she. But does that mean he's a male and he looks like me and he functions like me? No. Okay, why? Because, yeah.
Just a question, not related to the male and female.
To the Shaitan?
No.
Oh, okay.
To the surah, Surah Al-Falaq.
Yes.
I think it's Makki surah.
So?
And then the sabab al-nuzul or the sabab al-nuzul in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You see, but there is an argument about if it's Meccan or Medina. It's not whole. It's said to be both in the tafsir. And the reason the argument is when did the magic happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exact.
And the event was?
Yeah.
Yes. So again, at the end of the day, we get the Mecca and Medina just to help us understand. But for these three surahs, regardless if they were Mecca or Medina, they serve a clear function in the life of a Muslim, which is save them from evil of external and evil of internal. And it balances that the external does not dominate you as much as you think. Because many people think, bro, I have evil eye. I can't work. How did you know? Yes.
No, I'm just getting a comment from up there. They are saying, can you repeat the question also? Because they
can't. Oh, sorry. Apologies. I was asked if Shaitan is male or female. And that was the answer. And then right now, the question was, is the Surah Al-Falaq is Meccan or Madani? Okay? And there's a disagreement on the scholars of Meccan and Madani. Yes. Yes.
So, can R name Naf also this first one?
Yes. And it's in Surah Qaf. Can our own nafs be whispering to us? So notice, al-waswas al-khannas min al-jinnati wal-nas. If we read the surah in English, in a translation, Allah says, say I ask refuge with the Lord of mankind, the King of mankind, the God of mankind from the evil of the sneaky whisper in and out, who whispers into the chests of mankind, from the whispers among the race of unseen beings and mankind. Jinn in the Arabic language sometimes is used for the jinnis and used for something that you cannot see. Jinn is something like, is that it could be any type of creation. So the surah basically says any type of whisper coming from a human, whether ourselves, whether others. And notice something beautiful. What's the last word in the Quran?
Nas,
mankind. The Quran is for everyone. So on the way out, this is not an exclusive message. This is for all of mankind. It's a very beautiful ending. And the other thing is that this is usually the surah you conclude with the Quran and you lock. What does Allah tell you on your goodbye out of the Quran? Be careful of the whisper of Shaitan. And I always say this in Ramadan, always on the last of Ramadan. When Surah An-Nas is read, it's as if a warning when Eid comes, the Shaitan is coming back full force. And you'll notice your motivation, your purpose goes down. That's the displacement of Shaitan. You're like, how come I can't maintain? You can't maintain that horsepower of Ramadan. Because once that whisper comes back, then the praying Isha becomes heavier. Should I go? Then and the heaviness begins. And that is the whisper of Shaitan. It weighs down the humans. Any other question? Yes, for sure. As many questions.
So if there's whispers of nafs as well as whispers of Shaitan, but sometimes we also like feel if you're about to do something, it may be a good thing to do, right? Like you feel though it's the right thing to do.
Yes.
How do we distinguish? Like.
So I want to say something about the whispers of Shaitan. Does the whisper of Shaitan fully control you or not? How do we know? No.
It's
a whisper. You allow it in or out. Because Shaitan at the Yawm al-Qiyamah, people are going to run, you know, they're blaming each other, we're all blaming each other, but oh, you did this to me. He says, I can't save you, you can't. Man, I'm bimustrikhikum wa ma antum bimustrikhikum. Surah Ibrahim, it's at the very end of Surah Ibrahim. Wa ma kana li alaykum min sultan illa antukum fastajabtum li. I had no sultan, I had no power over you. Like, you know, you whispered to me, but you accepted. You said yes. I came and said to you, brother, leave Islam. And you said yes. You said yes. Okay? I encouraged you, yes. But you said yes. So the blaming on shaitan. The blaming on shaitan, that he did it for me, because sometimes people will always say, you know, jinni overtook me and I'm not in control of myself anymore. Like, and they'll say they'll live years, and the jinni is living. So, okay, like, if khamra is haram, because I know it's a huge industry, guys. It's a huge industry, the industry of people, and they go visit the place, and they will do this bukhur to get the jinni out, and all of it, it's billions of dollars. I want to break it to you guys. It ain't true. I'm so sad to tell you. Like, I could call sometimes a brother in Mecca, I saw a cat and I got sick right away, and there's a relation between that cat that looked at me and, wallahi, I will get a message like this. And I am right now way down. Go do tawaf again. Go just do tawaf, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, and just get back to when. And this is the beauty of Surah Al-Ikhlas and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. As long as you're with Allah and you're seeking protection from Allah, shaitan does not overpower you. And by overpowering, I mean does not take power from you, but you are letting shaitan in. You're leaving him to come in. And this is why these last three surahs close all the doors. The sincerity door, the external forces door, the shaitan whisper door. And shaitan comes also in the form of doubt. You create doubt. I could do any khutbah about something on edge, in the middle, and lead a fight. Why? My goal is to divide. And there are people that do that a lot. So just, I'm just saying this from a place of love. These three surahs close the doors, and if you repeat them a lot, and you know what it means, when you say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, you imagine that darkness to daylight moment. That Allah will get you from al-dhulumat ila nur. Surah Ibrahim also begins, لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. That darkness to light. Allah wants to get you into light. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Allah wants to get you from those external threats. Invoke Him once. You got His protection. خلاص, it's over, it's done. You read it? Alhamdulillah. Don't worry. Don't doubt yourself. So how can I achieve the certainty of the heart of that whisper, am I good or not? Thank you.